Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for us to explore the Word of God together. As always, it's an honor and it's a privilege to come before the people of God. And I thank God for this opportunity that we could come together and explore the Word of God together at this hour. It's good to take time from your busy schedule and sit down and read the Word of God and expound on the Word of God. Because when we read the Word of God and study the Word of God, it's the time that God speaks to us. God speaks to us through his word. The writing in the Bible is the words of God. Even though it's written by 40 men from all walks of life, it was inspired. Every dot, every word, every comma, every tittle was designed by God for us tonight. So let us read and expound upon the word of God and hear what the Spirit has to say to us, and then it applied and understand it and use it in our lives as we go about our Father's business, building the kingdom of God here on earth. So again, I thank God, I thank you, and I'm so glad to be with you guys on tonight. Our lesson is going to come from the book of Job, the first chapter. I'm going to start at the one verse. And the title of the lesson is, Sometime is Only a Test. When you talk to anybody, Christian, that's been on the battlefield a long time or just started walking with God, most of the time you say Job, and they'll say many things that they know. But I've been in the book of Job, and every day we study a chapter. And today we was on a chapter 34 and just looking at the life of Job and understanding each part of it step by step. There's so much more to Job than just saying Job had patience or God tested Job. Job speaks to what God wants us to be and how God wants us to act in times of trouble. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and play the song. Now, when I play this song tonight, after listening to it and deciding to use it for tonight, it is the perfect song for the story of Job. So I want you to listen to the words of the song, and I want you to be able to understand how God was with Job in the midst of his trials. So again, I say this is the perfect song for what was happening and how God was with Job. The title of the song is In the Middle Of. And I'm going to play the song, and then we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace and prayer.
Sometimes it seems hard to see, I care for you. Sometimes it's hard for you to see that I'm there with you. Oh, be strong, hold on, and know I'm right there in the middle. Oh, when you cry.
I made you happy.
I was yours. Sometimes I know in my heart that you really love me. But other times I must question your faith. Oh, don't give up, always look up. Don't give in, I'm right there in the middle. Yeah, yeah, pain, heartache, I'm right there. Tried to take your hope away. I was there when you didn't know right from wrong. Yeah, I was there when your friends walked out on you. I was there when you didn't know what to do. Yeah, when you searched and found all of your family was gone. When you couldn't see your night from day. Oh,
amen, amen, amen. And as we do the lesson tonight and explore on the word, if you could just remember some of that song, you could see how sweet it is, how God operated with Job in his testing. So at this time, it's time to go to the God's throne of grace in prayer. God has given an opportunity for someone to be able to pray on tonight. If anyone would like to pray, you could just press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic. God is given an opportunity. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my High Tower, my all in all, dear Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity where you allow us to come together, the body of Christ, to explore on your word of God, to see what the Spirit has to say, to see what you allow the writer of the book of Job to write for us tonight. Lord, we are thanking you for your instructions in your word. Thank you for allowing us to use it as a moral compass for our daily living. Thank you for using the word of God to guide us, protect us, convict us, use us. Hallelujah. Teach us, love on us, and be our peace and strengthen us. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your will and your way. Lord, I pray that the word tonight don't return void. And that it accomplished what you intended it to accomplish in our lives. Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Well, it's time for us to go into the lesson. Tonight, the lesson, I said earlier, another caller has come on the line. But our lesson tonight, the title is, Sometime is Only a Test. coming from the book of Job, verses 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, and I'll expound on others so that you could have a full understanding of Job. And I'm going to do a little background tonight. If we look at our title tonight, Sometime It's Only a Test, we have to visit what testing is all about. When everything that's going on in our lives today, we may be wondering if some of the things that's happening is a form of testing from God. And if so, we might ask why God tests us or allow us to be tested. You see, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word translated test means to prove by trials and temptation. Therefore, when God tests his children, his purpose is to prove that our faith is real, not that God needs to prove it to himself since he knows everything, but he's proving to us. He's showing you what you're made of. He's showing you what you're working with. He's showing you that what you have inside of you. He is proving to us that our faith is real, that we are truly his children, and that there's no trial that can overcome and take over our faith. You see, we live in a world of pain and suffering, and there's no one who is not affected by the harsh realities of the issues of this life. You know, we used to pray for our neighborhood. Now we got to pray for the city. We used to pray for the city, and we got to pray for the state. We used to pray for the state. Now we got to pray for the country. We used to pray for the United States of America, one nation under God. And now we have to pray for the whole world. Trouble is on every side. You see, you may be asking a question, why do bad things happen to good people? It is one of the most difficult questions in all theology. Many people believe because they love God and they're doing the best that they could to follow his rules and regulations that every day is going to be sunshine. But the Bible never promised us that God promised us a rose garden. And we will experience pure peace, not on this side, but in our eternal home. And then you must ask the question, who is good? Many people believe that they have reached the mountaintop, that they do everything that God wants them to do. There are some people who are even confessed growing up, they never strayed. And if they strayed and they got back on the right trail, that they never did anything wrong. But I must remind you that there are no good people in the absolute sense, y'all. Y'all got to understand what I'm saying. The absolute sense of the word. Because you see, all of us was tainted by and infected with sin. You see, if we go to the book of Romans, that third chapter and the 23rd verse, it says, for all have sinned. It didn't say some. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I also went to Mark, the 10th chapter, the 18th verse, and this is Jesus speaking. The people asked him, and they called him good. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? He said, no one is good except God alone. You see, we live in a fallen world, and we experience the effects of the fall. The sin that happened back then is still collecting its consequences. Yes, we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus, but the consequences of those sins still must be paid. You see, one of those effects of sin is injustice and seemingly senseless suffering. I guess the people in Iran could let you, not Iran. The people where the war is going on at this time, living in their houses and being bombed up for nothing that they did. Senseless suffering. Ukraine. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You know, that's the world we live in. You see, during this time, if we look at the coronavirus, we must remember that God is sovereign. So all that happened must have at least been allowed by him, even if not directed by him. At the offset, we must acknowledge that we are human beings who are not eternal, not infinite, not omniscient, so we cannot expect to understand God's purpose fully and his will or his way. But we can truly trust his plan. That's what the songwriter was saying tonight. Even when you can't hear God's voice, trust his plan. Even when everyone then walked out on you, trust his plan. You see, the good news is that God did not leave us here to suffer pointlessly. Yes, the innocent suffer. Excuse. Yes, the innocent does suffer. We're going to see that tonight. But God can redeem that suffering. It's the point. And God is going to show you how he do it. You see, our loving and merciful God has a perfect plan to use our suffering, all of our life experiences, our good, our bad, and our ugly. Come on, y'all. Everything that happened to you, God used it and turned it around for his purpose. He used the suffering to accomplish his threefold purpose for our lives. Number one, he uses pain and suffering to get our attention and to draw us to him so that we will learn how to cling to him. Second, he proved to us that our faith is real through the suffering and pain, which are inevitable in this life. Just like James said, when you fall into divers of temptations, he didn't say if you fall. He said, but when you fall, count it all joy. Can you do that by your faith, with your faith? Some people, soon as the first little thing happens, they fall apart. And some of them fall so far down till it takes them years to come up. Years. God said he tested to test your faith. How we respond to suffering, especially when we are innocent of wrongdoing, is determined by our faith. And some people say, well, you know, people grieve differently and people accept things differently. But this is the point, and I'm going to tell you this, and this is something you can hold on to. Let's say something go on, and it take you for a loop. And you don't want to talk to nobody. You don't want to be, you know, y'all know the way they do. If they stay like that for 3 years, and in the fourth year, they began to call on God. It's the same thing that brought them through in the fourth year that could have brought them through in the beginning. Now, I know people don't receive things the same, and I know sometimes, you know, you got all of these scenarios. God is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, period. You can't put all these scenarios when you're dealing with God in faith. Trust God and keep it moving. We did nothing to cause the coronavirus, and it is proven that there's nothing we can do to stop it or block it. A little girl I know yesterday just got diagnosed with the virus. The virus is real. It's never about what comes your way. God wants to see how we deal with opposition. How strong is our faith? Come on, y'all. What have you done with the word of God once you heard it? No matter what's going on in our lives, we can find something in the word of God to apply it to. You got to hold on to the confession of your faith, y'all. If we hold on to God's unchanging hand and do as Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we will not be crushed in our suffering, but will come through the trial with our faith intact. Having been tested by fire, we'll come out like pure gold. Finally, God uses or allows suffering to make our, to take our eyes off the world and turn them to our eternal life. You see, the Bible continually exhorts us to not get caught up in the things of the world, but to look forward to the world to come. The innocent suffer in this world, but the world and all that is in it will pass away. It's only temporal, y'all. You can't act like it's the end of all you're in. It's temporal. But the kingdom of God is eternal. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said that in the book of John, the 18th chapter and the 36th verse. And he said, and those who follow him do not see the things of this life, good or bad, as the end of the story. See, when you just crash like that for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you acting like it's the end. He's saying, and the word of God is not the end of the story. And I know people are different. Don't get it twisted what I'm saying. Everybody perceive and take things the way they want them. But you usually get a testimony, and they say how they was and how they done come over. That's what I'm talking about, y'all. They come and have a testimony how they wasn't really thinking the way God would want them to. It's the point. But even the suffering we endure, as terrible as they can be, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's what Romans 8:18 says, talking about trials and tribulations, setbacks, adversities, and how we act in that time. And God sometimes tests our faith, as he's going to test Job, to let allow Job to be tested tonight. You got to remember, God does not tempt, but God will test. Sometimes I hear people say, oh, I had an opportunity to steal that money, but I didn't. The only reason I didn't take it because I thought God was tempting me. Satan is the greatest tempter, not God. God doesn't tempt no man. But tonight we see that he will test, allow you to be tested. And I'm going in Job, the first chapter. I pray y'all have y'all Bibles with it, because tonight we're going to have a lot of the scriptures in the book of Job. We're going to be reading them to get you to have a full effect of what is going on tonight. And it says, Job, the first chapter, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Uz, in the name of Uz. And it start over. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 5,000 yokes of oxen and 5,000 she-ass and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. Did you know that about Job? Or did you just know that Job had patience? Or did you just know that Job was tested by God? Job was allowed to be tested by God, by Satan. This lets us know something about Job. You see right here in the first chapter, they say he was a perfect man, upright, one that feared God. And he didn't fool with evil. And he had a lot, y'all. They told us how many sheep and camels and she asses, and he had a very big household, which was servants and slaves. And he had 7 daughters, 7 sons, and 3 daughters. They say, so this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. Know that about Job tonight, y'all. And verse 4 said, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day. When they say his day, it seemed like it could be their birthday. They have a party. And they sent and called for their sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the day of their feasting was gone about, that Job sent and sacrificed them and rose early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. In other words, Job knew they was partying and they was having a good time, and maybe they did say it or act a way they shouldn't. So Job come and he sanctified children, y'all. And then he go to the altar and do a burnt offering, asking God if they had committed any sins to forgive them. Job was a righteous man, y'all. And Job said, it may be my sons have sinned and caused God and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job constantly. Job was always going to the altar for his children. That's deep. And they said he did it constantly. And then the scripture goes on to say in verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Y'all get what I'm saying? there was a day when the sons of God, could be talking about the angels or the men or whatever, the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came along with them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from coming to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. This Satan talking to God, y'all. And verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, see, Satan is just walking around seeing who he could get. Satan is walking around, and we know that, seeing who he may devour. Satan is always looking for a target. And here we see he was walking, and God asked him. Now watch this. In verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Now, God is putting this on Satan's mind now. See, God is ready to show Satan he do have some remnants that's going to follow him to the end, that he do have some no matter what happened to him. They're going to trust him. God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. God is setting this up. You know, I often say there's nothing that could happen unless God orchestrated or he allows it. So here we see he orchestrated, and then he's going to allow Satan. Come on, y'all. You see, here we see that Satan has access to God here in the presence of God, walking to and fro and walking up and down. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. God gave up Job because God trusted Job. But do God, or can God use you? See, God knew Job's character fully because Job had proven himself. See, when God knew who you really are, that's why God can use you for this or that, or send you here or there. I ask you to give this or that. If God knows if you're not going to do it, God knows if you don't extend yourself to no one, but maybe your family or your closest friends. God knows that. Because of that, God asked him, have you considered my servant Job? Here God was the initiator. This time he orchestrated because he knew Satan's plans, and he knew that he had tried Job many times and didn't win. But Satan is ready to shoot his best shot. He ain't going to give up. And then if we look at verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, do Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all he have on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and their substance is increased in the land. Put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. Satan is saying, yeah, Job, you know, trust you. Because look what you done did. You gave them this. You gave them that. You gave them children. You gave them wealth. Come on. You done made him one of the greatest men in the East. Yeah, he following you like that. But you see, from Satan's answer, we learn that he had tried Job many times without success to get him to curse God. Satan even agreed with God about Job, a perfect and upright man. See, Satan had tried it many times. Satan is agreeing with God. And Satan is also, he is one that feared God. And he shewed evil. But questioned Job motives. Yay, this and that, because you this and that to him. Satan accused Job of honoring God only because God had blessed him. Y'all know some people, long as God is giving you what you want, you're all right with God, but soon as the wind blows too hard, you turn your back on God. You go on a crackdown. You can't concentrate. And then, you know, many times people are like that. They feel like they can't even pray. And many times they stop going to church. See, Satan gets your mind so twisted, he makes you walk away from something that can help to get you in a state of helplessness. You see, Satan knows that there are Christians who only follow God when they can get, or only when something is going well. He knew that when the adversities, trials, and tribulations come, that they have a way of giving in to the standards of the world. That's how rarely people act, because they don't have no hope. They don't have no word. They don't have a Savior, and they don't have a Heavenly Father, the world. Satan said, let's see what he's made of. He said, God, remove the hedge of protection from around him. And let me take away his provisions. And let me have my way with him. And I guarantee you, he's going to curse you to your face. In verse 12, the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he have is in your power. God says, shoot your best shot. All that he have is in your power. Only upon him put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You see, God now told Satan, go ahead, try him. God agrees everything he has is in your power, but don't put your hands on him, and you can't take his life. Excuse. The rules are clear, and Satan must obey. They done set the rules, y'all. It's game time, and they're not at the follow. And Satan must obey God, because he's in full control of every situation. And God is also in control of Satan. And yes, Satan is the prince of this world. And Satan is the ruler of this world. That's why God said we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And that's why there's a realm of kingdom of God living here on earth for the believer. You see, even when God allows trials and trouble and sometimes testing, he said in this world, Corinthians 10 and 13 let us know that there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Nothing happening to you ain't already happened to someone else. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation, come on, y'all, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God didn't say temptations is not going to come. He said, but I already provided everything you know you need to go through anything that comes your way. You see, it must have been hard for Satan to be in the presence of God, so he left real quickly. And as he was leaving, he was plotting and scheming and ready to attack. And here, Satan immediately goes to work. You see, first Satan took all of the oxen and the asses and the camels. And he took all of the servants except the one that brought the message back. Here we see that Satan can and do use other people, because he allowed these people, the Sanbeans and the Cherubims, to come and take everything that Job had. See, when God, when Satan is attacking you and he's trying to get your attention, why you think sometimes people always come throwing monkey ranches in it? That's why you got to watch who you allow in your life. And secondly, you got to watch who you listen to. And thirdly, you better learn how to protect your spirit. And you better have the wisdom of discernment of the spirit, or people will bring you to a place, and when you get there and it's all through, you'll wonder how you got there. So these Sarabines and the Cherubines came, and they took all of Job's stuff. They did. And then Satan is always trying to get you to do his will. We know that. Look what he do next. He uses fire. He burns up 700 sheep. And the servant that was tending the sheep, each time only one servant was spared. Y'all know cattle and sheep and oxen. That was a sign of wealth back then. That was like liquid money. No, that wasn't liquid money, but it was like money. It had much value. The people came and took most of them, and then Satan sent fire down on the sheep and the servants. Each time, only one was spared to tell a story. You see, and while he was yet speaking, the servant who came back, while he was yet speaking, y'all, telling Job all the sheep, the asses, the camels, everything is gone, and a fire came from somewhere and burned up all the sheep, all of your laborers, your workers, come on, y'all, are gone, except the ones that's telling, come back telling the message. And while he was yet speaking about the fire, and how all of the sheep and stuff were stolen. The other one was speaking about that. Here comes in another, y'all. And listen to what he says. Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they all dead. All seven of his sons and his three daughters. And sometimes somebody died, one person, and one person died, and the person they leave on earth is ready to die with them up, ready to give up on life. And here we see Job lost seven sons and three daughters, plus all of his wealth. And the servant said, I alone have spared and escaped to tell you. I'm the only one. Here we see that Satan used the wind. He used the fire. And he used people, those cherubims and those guys, to do what they did. This was only the first round of attacks. This was only the first round of attacks. Job lost his wealth, his children. It had to be a terrible day for Job. So the next time you get bad news, I hope you will read through this chapter of Job. And after all of that, and he got all of that news, Job did not complain. And if you read the book of Job, he never complained, but yes, he's trying to explain that he don't understand. See, there's a difference. Job didn't complain, but he was constantly trying to explain. He couldn't understand why this was happening to him. We see up here Satan saying Job was a righteous man. We saw God saying that Job was a righteous and upright man. So Job wasn't just constantly doing sinning. So why is this happening to me, Job wondered. Now, I need to tell y'all this, and I'm going to tell you this now early in the game. Job did not know that it was only a test. So when you hear speak Job speaking, trying to understand, he didn't know that it was only a test. Hallelujah. He didn't complain, and he held on because all of this happened. And if we get to the 13th chapter, in the 15th verse, Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. But I will maintain my eyes always before him. Job said, whatever happened to me, I'm going to look to the hills from which cometh my help. But he wondered, why should this happen to me? What have I done that all these things should suddenly come upon me? Job knew that he was only a steward because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Job even made the statement, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said that in this same chapter we are reading tonight, but it's the 21st verse. And I asked you to read the whole chapter, and if you did, you read that. So now, this is the first round. And if you're keeping score, one for Job and zero for Satan. You see, Satan wanted another shot. He wasn't finished. So he goes to God and obtain permission to tempt Job further. Every time he wanted to do something to Job, you see that he had to go to God to get permission. That's the same way with you and with me. Satan can't just have his way with us. He has to go to God and get the permission. You see, the text, now we're going to the second test. Result in the loss of Job's health. He went back to Job, to God, and said, God, if you know, I took everything away from him that he loved. He said, but what will a man offer for his life? He said, let me attack his body. And he probably asked God, I don't know, but there's a scripture that I often hear saying that all sickness is not unto death. What he was saying, let me make him sick enough, but I know I can't kill him. But let me get him to the point to want to die because he's so sick. Let me have my way with his body and his health. And God agreed. Job got so sick. His wife said, do what Satan asked, curse God. Well, she didn't know it was coming from Satan, but she didn't know the test. But it was so hard for her to look at her husband. He began to put boils on Job's body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. The boils, you could imagine. Job went out and sat in a mourning posture and put ashes all over his body. Moment, and Job took clay pottery, and began to scrape the boils. Could you imagine the insects and the bugs and stuff that was coming around us of the infection, the flies. His feet, it was under his feet, which made it difficult for him to walk. And plenty of people are talking about his wife. You know, many times I have seen people, maybe their mother is sick and might be suffering, and they don't just say they need to die. They would be glad if God come and get them where they suffer no more. So I can understand Job's wife to some degree. And you got to remember, Job's wife lost everything too. Job's wife lost 7 sons and 5 daughters and all of the slaves and all of the servants. Come on, y'all, and all of the wealth. She lost it too. And she, as Job, was tired. But it never was said that she was a sinful woman. If Job was praying for his children, I know he was praying for his wife. But anyway, Job's wife suggested at that time. It's all the time, and Job has 42 chapters, you do the math, that she suggested that. Curse God and die. So Job is dead, sick as a dog, scraping himself, infection and ooze and wool. Draining out of them. And if y'all know boils leak, and they had covered his body, y'all, his eyes, his arm, his legs, his fingers, his toes, and the sole of his feet. Job had some friends that came to visit him from far. And when Job's friends arrived, they couldn't even tell that it was Job, because Job was just that unrecognizable. And Satan kept on and kept on doing everything he wanted to do with Job. And I can tell you this. Once, after Job's health was touched and Job didn't give in, he didn't buckle down, Satan left. And you'll never hear about Satan again in the book of Job. See, when you stand up to Satan over and over and over, Satan can't waste too much time on you, because he got to go get the next one. If you seeming strong, he got to go get the next weak one. So he tested Job and he tested Job. And Job's friends came. In the beginning, they came to give him comfort and courage, but they began to blame him. You see, you got to realize that in that culture, people associated sin with suffering. You always had to have done something to have to had suffered. They didn't even open their eyes and see that was not always the case. But that's what they believed. So they start to tell Job that he needs to repent. Job at one point said, if I did something, and I done forgot about it. I didn't know it was sin. Please tell me so I can repent, so I can be healed. But Job looked back over his life, and he thought things over. Job said, I didn't do nothing. He said, and if I would have did something, I ain't do nothing that bad that caused all of this suffering. Job was not complaining. Job was just explaining that he didn't understand why. And it's okay. It's okay. But I suggest that you read more. You know, when we have a Bible study, and if we do it in an hour, some Bible studies 40 minutes, some 30 minutes, it's to perk your interest. For you to go and discover things for yourself. You know, that's my lesson. And yes, I have so much more to say, but the time does not allow it. So to make a long story short, and if you go and read the chapters and the verses, you're going to see for yourself. But I could tell you this. Job's friends went back and forward to him, and him and back and forward to his friends. God wasn't speaking and Satan wasn't allowed. So they was having all this dialogue and they kept nailing him to the cross like they did Jesus. And through it all, Job wouldn't even say nothing. That reminds me when they was beating Jesus all night long and asking him the question, Jesus never said a murmuring word, and neither did Job to them or tried to answer them. But Job held on as a mere human, suffering, and sometimes he may have, you know, overstepped a little bit of his speech to God. But God, Job held on to the end. Job held on to the end, and I'm going to bring you to the end, and many times it said Job got double for his troubles. I could tell you this. He didn't really get double children because he got seven sons and seven and three more daughters, but he got more wealth. And guess what? All of the people and his so-called friends, they all had to give him gifts for their miscalculations. And imagine the people in the town that had ragged him out, and before he was the nicest thing to them, they had to give gifts into his bosom. So he became richer and richer and richer than he was before. And God blessed Job. God healed Job. God delivered Job out of the hand of his enemies. God redeemed Job because Job said, thou art my redeemer. And God made the crooked roads straight. God opened the doors for Job that needed to be opened, and all of them naysayers or whatever, he closed those doors that need to be closed. I just want to tell everybody that's what God is doing in our lives. But you got to see the hand of God, how he operates in your life. You have to read the word of God and see what God did with Job. Sometime with you, it may only be a test. And the song that was played today, tonight, he said, even when you can't hear my voice, just trust my plan. See, God didn't speak to Job for a long time through all of this, while all of this was going on. Job said, God, if you could just talk to me. But God held back his voice. The song that I played tonight was, even when you can't hear my voice, trust my plan. He said, I'm God, and yes, I understand. So that's my lesson for the night. And I thank God for the book of Job. I thank God for each chapter in the book of Job. I thank God for showing us that sometimes it may only be a test. And that's it for tonight. Any questions, any concerns, anyone have anything they would like to say? And most people know something about Job, so you can just say what you know about Job. You might could say something that I didn't say and can help the next person. Anybody would like to say something, could press the one button on their phone. Well, if that's it for tonight, we could have our benediction. Our benediction is coming from 2 Peter 3:18. And the scripture says that we all should grow in grace. God has given us grace, y'all. Can we grow in it? We should grow in the grace that God has given us in the knowledge by receiving the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how we grow in the grace. That's how we do as Job, hold on to God's unchanging hand. That's how we don't understand and keep doing what God tells us to do. God is the author and the finishing up of our faith. That's how we hold on, y'all. And if that's it for tonight, Again, I thank each and every one of you for taking time from your schedule and come and join us as we explore the Word of God tonight. And I pray that you will, you know, if you delight yourself in the Word and you study your Word, you could choose some of the book of Job after having an introduction to be able to just, you know, go through it for yourself. Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we should study to show ourselves approved as workmen, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. That's each and every one of us' responsibility. Study to show thyself approved. And that's it for tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll be back on next Wednesday by the grace of God. All things through Christ Jesus. But until then, I say to each and every one of you, God loves you, and so do I. Good night.